Kristen on this one.
Those pin and pit tours have become quite the cluster.
Yeah. I'm gonna be on leave.
So am I. So is Ben.
Just a reminder.
That's all right.
Okay. Oh, I got a minute, probably. Hey, Todd.
What's up? Consider the table if you want, dude. There's usually not that many people. Yeah.
I know. I thought he was the smartest man in the room.
I know. He's probably sitting at the head of the table right there.
Point of the spear.
Good morning. I think we'll get started with the WFPOM meeting. Let's start with finding out who we have on the phone. Do we have any ODFW representatives? How about U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service?
This is Mike Hudson.
Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
BPA? Grand Ronde Tribe? About anyone else from Portland District?
It's Doug Garlis from the Valley.
Good morning, Doug.
Aaron. Excuse me.
How about NOAA Fisheries?
Yes, hi Tammy, this is Diana.
Hello, Diana.
And also Lance Kruzik's on.
Good morning, Lance.
Good morning.
All right, there are a couple more beeps in there. Do we have anyone on from ODFW?
Morning, this is Ryan Couture from ODFW.
Good morning, Ryan. How about BPA? Dan. And the Grand Ronde? All right, anyone else on the phone that I missed?
Hey, Tammy, this is Chad Helms.
Hey, Chad.
And Selena Hart is on.
All right, gotcha, Selena. Here in the room, this is Tammy Mackey with the Corps.
Bob Wertheimer with the Corps.
Andy Traylor with the Corps.
Chris Walker with the Corps.
Yavin Hawk with the Corps.
Todd Pierce with the Corps.
Right, and there was another person who just called in.
Yeah, this is Tim from the Lehigh Valley, so I'll just have it on the background and mute in case we talk about Detroit maintenance outages.
Okay, great.
All right.
All right, to start with, are there any updates to the agenda? To the last one Chris sent out. All right, moving on to approving the February meeting minutes.
I didn't receive any comments by email, so we can approve them.
All right.
Folks have comments now.
Hearing none, we will approve this. All right, so moving on to action items. Chris.
Yeah, the first item was just to invite Fenton Khan to the flow meetings that we have monthly so that he can track for his research, and that's been complete. He's been forwarded the information and added to the distribution list.
All right. Aaron, you have the second action item.
Yes, that was also completed.
And Chris?
Yeah, so the next one's been an ongoing action item in regards to sending out maintenance schedules. As said previously, there's a disclaimer on them that says not to send out for external use or it's for official use only. I'm still trying to get guidance from BPA to whether or not I can send those out. So I don't know if we want to make that Dan Spears' action item or someone from BPA's.
Okay. Yeah, we can change that over to Dan. Especially since he's not.
Hey, Tammy, this is Diana. Sorry to take us back a quick step, but are there going to be future FBOM PNPED task group meetings?
Yes, there will be, and we will talk about that under updates.
Okay. I was just going to ask for this action item if that could get forwarded to me too.
Okay. Yes.
Thank you.
All right, so BPA will take care of the maintenance, or will request that they take care of the maintenance schedules. And it looks like, have you had the next one?
Oh, sure. Yeah, so this is another one that's been ongoing to establish a task group to look at fish facility operations more closely, and I have not done that yet. That's the next task group that I'll be heading up. And then the last one's mine also, unless you want to talk.
I realize that's a year old.
Is it really? Well, I had three other task groups to take care of first.
Okay.
The last, or the next item, which isn't quite a year old, is to look into a TDG meter or getting the TDG data at Minto to the web. I have been in contact with Art and do have estimates as to what we would need for equipment and costs. There were some further issues with installation of the TDG system at Minto that we're working through. So that's kind of where we're at. We actually had to purchase a new meter. And then we need to figure out or determine whether or not we want to move forward with funding the system that will provide data or information regarding TDG to the web. There's a cost involved, so we just need to figure that stuff out in terms of moving forward. There was discussion about ODFMW purchasing some of that, but that's as far as I've gotten with those folks. And I don't know if Greg's on the phone or if Ryan can speak further on that.
Yeah, this is Ryan. I don't think Greg's on. I think you pretty well summed it up, Chris. I mean, I think we initially purchased the meter with ODFW operating budget. Greg's been working with the Detroit folks to get that operational. Obviously, there's been some hiccups. In terms of continued troubleshooting, I think Greg's working on that, and it sounds like you and Andy are in the loop. I guess the only... maybe the reservation from a funding perspective from our end would just be the cost associated with getting that on a website. That seems like, I think you maybe phrased it, Chris, as a nice to have, maybe not a need to have. So that piece might need some further discussion.
So let's move it from an action item to an update. But you can just update us on the status every month. All right, anything else on any of those action items?
Hey, Tammy, this is Diana again. I was just going to throw out there that I know we're planning to do I shouldn't say planning. We're talking about doing a TDG study in the North Sanium. So I guess the ask would just be for Chris to stay in touch with the RM&E team. It would be really great if, while they're doing that, we could, you know, sync measurements up or get measurements from Minto as well as from Niagara while they're doing that study. So I guess, Chris, please just keep an eye out on that for upcoming RM&E.
Will do. Thank you.
Thanks.
move into updates.
All right, so from HMT, we had our meeting last Wednesday. And not a whole lot to report from the hatcheries. The brood year for 2017 is starting to get ponded for spring Chinook. Fish health is looking good across the board right now, no major issues. Summer steelhead smolts that are scheduled for release next month are being acclimated right now at Minto and at South St. Am. And yeah, things are plugging along just fine. There's some general maintenance that's being taken care of, a couple issues with homeland security that have been sorted out as far as storing different chemicals and such. Working on that TDG meter at Minto, as Chris and Ryan spoke to, and also doing a little recertification for crane training that ODFW set up at Minto and at Foster. And that's about it. Ryan, you want to add anything?
I'll just add one quick point on winter steelhead collections. I think as of HMT, the numbers have been really, really low. Some fish moved this week, so we had two unmarked week, and I want to say 30 over 26. So very small numbers, but starting to.
Hey Ryan, you kind of broke up right there. Could you repeat those numbers again?
Yeah, sure. There was two unmarked winter steelhead as well, and I believe the Minto was 13, bringing the season total to 26.
Cool. Thanks.
All right, how about HGMP updates? Lance, you
want to
report on this one?
Sure. Yeah, Andy and I had corresponded about providing an update on HGMPs and the NEPA stuff, so I missed the HMT last week, so we thought we'd do it today. So we're evaluating, for those of you not up to speed on where we're at on the hatchery front, we received four Chinook HGMPs from the co-managers a year and a half ago, and we've been in consultation on those Chinook programs. And one of the responsibilities that the federal government has is to fulfill NEPA obligations. And so when we received those HGMPs, we kind of looked into the NEPA part of it and what had been previously done under NEPA to evaluate the hatchery programs, and there wasn't a lot there. And so one of our responsibilities was just to fulfill NEPA. And so NEPA kind of analyzes things in a much broader context, kind of looking at all of the impacts associated with the hatchery programs on the human environment, to use NEPA terminology. And so we had developed an environmental impact statement for all of the hatchery programs in the Willamette, and that document is now out on the street for public review and comment. And so, as co-managers, I would like you guys to take a look at that document and provide feedback on it that would aid us in completing that evaluation. So it's out for 45 days. The public comment period will close May 7th. And in that, as you'll see, it's not fish-centric. It evaluates a whole bunch of stuff and a suite of alternatives in there. There's five alternatives that we developed. Just to go through them real quickly, if we have a few minutes. The first alternative is kind of status quo hatchery operations. And as you guys are aware, one of the things that necessitated the need to update the Chinook HGMPs was to allow the potential for wild Chinook to be taken for broodstock purposes, to integrate the program, since those programs are used for reintroduction and conservation. And so alternative one is just status quo, no integration. Alternative two looks at kind of what the HGMPs propose to allow some wild Chinook to be taken for broodstock purposes under specific criteria. And so that's the second alternative. The third alternative looks at a reduced hatchery production scenario where the programs would just be producing fish for conservation or reintroduction purposes. And so for the Chinook programs, I think most of the HDMPs had a production level that was deemed for conservation reintroduction purposes. So we used that production level for the Chinook programs. And then for the steelhead program, what we did was we just assumed we would roll all of the production into winter steelhead from the existing summer steelhead program. And that production would be used for reintroduction above the dams and the sandy dams, I guess, for winter steelhead. And so that kind of looked at that alternative three was kind of a conservation reintroduction scenario. The fourth alternative looks at eliminating the hatchery programs entirely throughout the whole basin. So it's evaluating the impacts of that, biological, social impacts, impacts on wildlife. You'll see all that stuff that's evaluated through there, the document. And then alternative five, kind of on the other side of things, it looks at an increased hatchery production scenario, kind of what could be accommodated in existing facilities. So I think it was like a 30 or 40% increase in hatchery production compared to the programs right now. So evaluated the effects of that. And so, yeah, it's out on the street for those that are interested in it. Take a look at it. And, you know, in general, it kind of looks at a broad range of impacts on various sectors in our environment, society. So from that, after the public comment period closes, we'll look at all the comments and revise the NEPA document as necessary. In the meantime, we're working on the biological opinion for the hatchery programs, all of the hatchery programs in the upper Willamette right now. And we're hoping to get that completed in June of this year. So that'll give new ESA Section 7 consultation to the co-managers for all of the programs in the Willamette Rainbow Trout, Summer Steelhead, and Spring Chinook. So in the next month or two, I'm going to really need to work with each of the agency's technical staff to kind of work through this, be able to, you know, discuss some of the issues that are popping up, review certain sections of the biop, just kind of our normal consultation stuff that we've done over the years, working together on that to like I said, hopefully get it signed in June, the biological opinion. So that's kind of where things stand right now on the hatchery side of things from my end. Any questions or anything, feel free to contact me anytime.
Hey Lance, do you know off the top of your head when that 45-day comment period is over?
Yeah, May 7th.
Cool, thanks.
And if you're interested in seeing kind of how the document or other things, just Google West Coast NIMS and you'll come up with our homepage. And on the right, on the left side, there's a link called Hatcheries. Click that, and then you'll see the Upper Willamette stuff under kind of plans that are out for review. So if anybody wants more background on that, or just send me an email, I can send you the web address.
So Chris and Aaron, please make sure that link is in the meeting minutes and maybe send it to the distribution list so people don't have to go searching for it. Any other comments on HDMP updates? All right, moving on to research updates.
We don't have any. We have some studies that are ongoing on Foster and Lookout Point. We're not going to get a spill at Lookout Point, so we're just doing the regular study to evaluate passage through the turbines, and we're starting to plan FY19 studies.
All right, how about water quality updates.
I was at a, this is Norm Bukola, CORE, and I was at a Mercury TMDL meeting. There's a committee, public committee, planning a new Mercury TMDL for the Willamette Basin, and had a question for the group. It came up after I presented with Holly Bellringer, our new water quality person here. We presented just how the CORE operates in the basin and how the Mercury TMDL could affect us in the future. If I don't know if you're aware, but above Cottage Grove and Dorena Lakes, there is legacy mercury mining that was took place, and so potentially could really impact us and our operations at Cottage Grove or Dorena. And mostly Cottage Grove, there's been a lot of studies there currently in the last 10 years. EPA is working upstream of Cottage Grove to clean up a Superfund site at the Black Butte mine. And it came up a question there was how are steelhead and Chinook potentially impacted by mercury and methylation of mercury that it happens in the lake there. So wanted to see from this group if there's anything that comes to mind.
Off the top of my head, and Ryan, you can chime in. Trout would be on the radar, but less so Chinook and steelhead. Unless, not knowing how it's liberated, you know, it's typically in the sediment, right? And not knowing what work has been done looking at fish, it's hard to say, but trout comes to mind in terms of being impacted, or in the vicinity anyway.
Yeah, they mostly were, they're talking about, you know, bottom feeders mostly.
Okay.
So, and then fish consumption, you know, locals, there's a lot of recreation there, right? And so a lot of people, there's a fish, a limit, I think, OHA has a limit on, you can catch a few fish a week or something there. You know?
So there's a warning out already on that?
But yeah, this is Jeff Ziller. That's in our angling regulations. We have the warnings in there. And the it's actually the mercury is concentrated in the higher-end predators, so bass, bluegill, bullhead catfish, those types of fish are the ones that have the highest levels of mercury in them. And most of those fish that have been in there for a few years are over the limit that has been set for mercury.
Okay. Well, the status of the...
That's the case in Dorena also, by the way.
Okay. The status of that process right now is they're modeling the loads and then the fish or the food web issues from mercury. So their Tetra Tech is doing some modeling on that. They should be done in the summer. And then they're gonna show the results to the group, and there'll be a comment period. And, so just so you know, that's kind of what I have so far.
What was the purpose of that study? Other than, was it a health study or was there another objective?
Well, the TMDL, the purpose is to limit maximum daily loads from point sources and non-point sources. And the Cottage Grove and Dorena are considered non-point sources right now. And it looks, the modeling, from what I can tell, that may not change, which means we can keep looking. Because it's an ongoing research site, I think they're waiting to see what the research shows, and then the cleanup above Cottage Grove could affect the loading of mercury into the lake and then below the lake. So purpose of the study is just to better understand methylation of mercury in the lake, and then food web effects downstream.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
Any other water quality updates?
Part of the Cougar FSS design team with Todd and Mary Karen. That's moving along at 90% design documentation report. We're working towards that. And still the design, I think currently is 25 foot depth that we would be skimming off Cougar Lake. And then it'd be a truck and haul downstream passage for juveniles. And then, and you guys can add whatever I'm missing there, but and then at Detroit, there's this selective withdrawal structure, PDT working on towards the 90%, I think. And that also, that would have more of a looking like a 35 foot depth that the FSS would be skimming off the top of the lake there. The temperature tower there, it looks like it'll still have this vertical design. They were looking at maybe a slanted design along the north slope of near the dam, Detroit Dam, but it looks like they'll be sticking with the vertical tower there. And then the FSS would be docked sort of on the west side of that tower between the tower and the dam. So if you want to know more about that, we can.
About a flow update?
Overall, we're still trying to fill our reservoirs. We're about 51% full and 15% behind the roll curve. Snowpack's really been building up the last few weeks. We're about 80% of average snowpack, so that's nice. Most of the large reservoirs are still quite a bit below roll curve. Like Detroit's still almost 20% below roll curve, and Lookout Point's still like 35% below, so yeah, that might affect a spill test, which has a maybe one effect on one study, but for like Scott's study, it's a good thing. Yeah. He doesn't want any spill.
Scott and I were talking about that. So
yeah, we have conflicting study requests. So overall, we're just happy to see this nice showery spring that we're having. It's helping the reservoirs. And then we're going to meet with our water team this afternoon and talk about main stem flows for April. But I expect we'll be meeting the full targets.
Okay, great. All right, the next update is the pinniped update, and I think we'll start with Wertheimer giving the background and overview of the FPOM task group, and then we'll ask ODFW for their update.
So let's go even a little bit further back than that, because if you don't mind. First of all, appreciate the opportunity to speak here. If you go back to the science review, we had two really good back-to-back presentations. Dr. Matt Falsey of ODFW gave a population viability analysis for winter steelhead. And the outcome of that viability analysis really was pretty clear in that pinnipeds, it looks like, is going to be the final straw in winter steelhead in terms of their ability to persist if management actions aren't taken with pinnipeds. We really kind of, at first, were thinking more of a presentation. We were expecting more of a presentation along the lines of what we do at Bonneville Dam, because that's what Kyle Tidwell presented. He overviewed the Bonneville program, and we've got over 20 years of data where we've been monitoring pinniped, and these radical changes that we've seen over time in the species composition, where you've seen this shift from early on, there was California sea lions. A California sea lion management plan was developed, letter of authorization under Section 120 of the Marine Mammal Protection Act was achieved by the managers, fish and wildlife managers, who are the states and the tribes. And so they've been, basically, they have a letter of authorization. They've been removing some California sea lions, and along with that, we do hazing. Hazing is done at the dam from the concrete, as well as by boat, by CRITFIC. The Corps' role in this is we're directed to collect data. So the abundance of pinnipeds, how many fish they're eating, and the effects of these deterrents. And so over time, I think we've gotten really good at collecting these data, because at the FFU, we do applied monitoring. And so we've gotten a kind of a constant stream of requests for basically how we can improve the criteria that are used under the LOA at Bonneville right now. Right now, the current criteria are an animal has to have been present for 5 days, it has to have been seen eating a salmon, and it has to have been hazed in order to get on the list for removal. We developed that list, we provided it to NOAA Fisheries, who shares it with the states and shows them which animals are authorized for removal. So that's been a really, I think, important process. And so Kyle kind of presented our data and just showed the radical changes that have occurred really in the biggest thing is stellar sea lions. I don't know if people are familiar with stellar sea lions, but right now there is no real management plan for stellar sea lions in the Columbia River. This is the apex predator in the Columbia River right now, besides perhaps humans, if you look at it. And their presence at Bonneville has increased to such a point where NOAA Fisheries directed us to basically double our monitoring period. So at the FFU, we used to monitor from January to May. Californians would come, start showing up in January, they'd leave May, go out to, and these are all males, they'd go out to basically complete the reproductive life cycle, if you will. Now with stellar sea lions, they leave for maybe a month. So NOAA Fisheries directed us, well, now fall, winter, and spring to collect data on these animals.
Is it still just males or both males and females now?
It's all males. So it's all males. So if you look at this, this is what's fascinating about it. And this is one of the questions, we'll get into the task group in a little bit. This is one of the questions we asked is, well, sorry to digress, but it's a great question.
Yeah.
What would happen to this population, or these both these populations, if all males were to be removed? Would there be a reproductive effect on the population? Because if you go back even further, I mean, the Marine Mammal Protection Act of 1972, these animals had been managed to the point where they were almost extirpated and almost extinct, right? So you put in protections and the pendulum is swinging. So we've been collecting data on that. So it's a good question is, what would happen if all males were removed? But that's kind of not where our analysis is going. It's a different, but it is scientifically, it's a good valid question, because if you look at the way some species are managed, you look at crabs, right? You can harvest all male crabs. I mean, so there's different populations that might be a strategy, I don't know. That's not where we're going. So we've been collecting data, and what we're looking at right now is there's this continual influx of tour requests that is ongoing right now from high-level officials who want to come to Bonneville and see the different monitoring data that are collected, management activities that are occurring. And so when we get into the update, we've learned a lot of things. We cooperate with Brian Wright, Robin Brown, the ODF&W people, Steve Jeffries from Washington and others who are doing the management activities. But when we talk about Willamette Falls, the solvent plant there and the ladder instances there, having worked there personally for multiple years, there's a lot going on there as well. And so there was a task group that was convened by Trevor Condor of NOAA from FPOM. We met, we had a lot of different researchers as well as scientists involved with pinnipeds overall. Robert Anderson, who kind of leads NOAA in the Section 120, was there as well, and asking hard questions and looking kind of the path forward. So type of data we're collecting, how we can get better at the data we're collecting, so we can use that data to inform policy, right? So application of our data. So that's why, I mean, I think kind of aligning the two groups, we've got WolfPOM, we've got FPOM. There's some overlap, but these animals, I mean, we showed from the research, Michelle Rubin and others who presented, I mean, they move so fast. They're moving between Bonneville. We've got animals at Bonneville that are 2 days later throughout Willamette Falls and back and forth. And in fact, earlier this year, there was an animal that was removed from Willamette Falls under the criteria that was put on the list at Bonneville, because they're still seeking 120 authorization for California sea lion management at Willamette Falls. And anybody can correct me if I misspoke on anything and stuff. So what we're interested in is, again, how we can help inform, because how you collect the data, the infrastructure you need to manage these individuals, it takes a lot, right? It takes a good study design, it takes concerted planning in order to basically execute any management as well as collect the data to inform the management. So that was kind of a little overview. Any questions on an overview I just gave there? Diana asked earlier when the next meeting was. The task force met on each task group, excuse me, this was an FPOM task group, met on 8 March. The May FPOM is when we're going to reconvene this task group at Bonneville Dam. So the perfect location, if you know pinniped activity, typically peaks late April, early mid-May, and then at the end of May, you get into June and the animals leave. So we will be meeting at the FPOM task group in May.
So then what we
This is Brian with ODFW. My question was, who are the ODFW representatives on that group?
So you have Eric Van Dyke is typically the representative from ODFW, sits on FPOM. I don't know if there was others there, Tam. Others there, Tam. Sorry.
I wasn't there for the task group meeting.
Yeah, no, I believe just Eric Van Dyke. Well, no, excuse me. Well, we had Brian Wright was there.
Robin Brown?
I think Robin was there. In fact...
Well, he's our sea lion.
Yeah. Because they gave an overview of the activities that they're doing, both at Bonneville and Willamette Falls.
So, Ryan, the FPOM representative is Eric Van Dyke, but the sea lion person is Robin Brown.
Perfect, thanks.
I had Brian Wright and Michelle Dennehy also.
Yeah, Michelle was there. Yeah, I'm just looking at the... I'm not sure that... Yeah, Robin was there.
But he is normally...
Yeah, there. He's a representative. I don't think he could be there at the on 8 March on that day.
So ideally what we would have for the pinniped update from ODFW is... just an update as to what activities are going on at Willamette Falls and how we can coordinate those with the Bonneville team, if there is any coordination, but at least for awareness so we know what's going on in both locations, essentially.
Yeah, and what we'd like to do is, in terms of specific individuals, again, the branding, the unique ID is so critical because the unique ID lets you categorize these individuals. Without the unique identification, they look so much different in the water than they do on the traps. There's, in terms of management actions, I believe only with one individual that was very unique has ever a management action been taken on an individual that was not branded.
Any other questions or comments on pinnipeds? And Ryan, I realize you are not necessarily the correct person, but hopefully somebody from ODFW will be able to provide these updates fairly regularly. So if there's someone specific you think we should direct the agenda to, aside from we can include the people who went to the task group meeting, let us know.
Yeah, sounds good. Yeah, that sounds good. It may be an update that Kelly Reese wants to give on a monthly basis. If not, our contact from a policy standpoint would be Sean Clements. So Sean may be able to speak to that or give updates as well. But I can circle back with Kelly and we can chat again, Tammy, before the next meeting.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks.
And I think for this meeting, not to speak, but I think this meeting really it's about the data. Right, it's about the number of individuals that are present, the management, what's going on there in terms of hazing, because what we want to do, or typically with FPOM, is you get input from the group to make it better, to make the work that you're doing better. We receive a lot of input on all the different actions when projects go out and stuff. You know, it may be that the type of hazing you're doing has been, there might be a better alternative cracker shell or seal bomb or way of doing it. So typically this is usually a data-centric group. Not so much policy.
All right, we will circle back with the ODFW. Moving on, Dan, have you joined us from BPA yet? Well, then I guess we don't have any BPA updates. How about an update on Cougar Fish Facility?
We fired up the facility last Thursday. So far, the pumps and everything appear to be working pretty good, knock on wood. So far, no bull trout have been collected, but I imagine probably in the next few weeks we should start to see a few fish in the trap there. And that rock slide is still blocking access around the reservoir. Latest I've heard, I think, is Memorial Day that they hope to have that cleared. So that is all I have for cougar.
Is this the adult facility?
Yes. How about Fall Creek? Natalie, you're here.
Okay, so Monday we met out with Jeff Brown, and we went through the whole ladder looking at maybe he wanted to see and touching surfaces and stuff. And so he has, I think, like a four.
Can you pass the microphone over to Natalie? She's very hard to hear.
Sit here, Natalie.
Sorry. Okay, can you hear me now? Verizon.
Yes, much better.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you.
So I'll start again. Monday we met with Jeff Brown out. He's from NOAA Fisheries, and we went through the whole ladder, anything he wanted to see, touch, do, to make sure he was good with the ladder. And he has a punch list of four items that are pretty minor. And he's going to send me a letter directly for those. But we agreed to do those things out in the field, so I don't think it's going to be a big issue. So then we are commissioning as of yesterday, so the electrical engineer is out there working crazily on that. And then next week we'll have the hydraulics and the mechanical group out doing the rest of the commissioning. We hope to have the ladder up and running April 16th. But there is an MOC out there. Chris Walker has flagged that to you. We won't have it up April 1st. There's no way. But we think we'll have it by the 16th when they want to run on that Monday. But we asked for the 30th just in case we have some commissioning issues that we don't know of right now. And so are there any questions for me about Fall Creek? Do you need the specific things that were done, where we're at? Are you good with knowing that it's pretty much almost done and they're madly working on paving and, you know, the final details?
This is Jeff. What for fish that are coming up potentially this spring before the 15th, how are we collecting those fish?
We're not.
Okay.
Jeff,
this is Doug. Excuse me.
Doug?
Did you get that cable I made showing run timing back to 05 and Chinook presence at the trap from 15 April, 1 May, 15 May, blah, 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 throughout the season. You see that?
I was more concerned about winter steelhead.
No, I know. And we're hoping that when we open the gate that they come in, if there's any out there. So.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But, yeah, we'll keep you posted, Jeff. Absolutely. And the team.
Any other questions for me? Or Doug?
Thank you.
We're good? Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Moving on to the Willamette Valley contract status. So the Willamette hatcheries, we anticipate awarding the second year of that contract by the 1st of September. Desert Springs, we're still just at the 100,000 pounds that has been awarded. Additional options we still have until the 1st of July. And then monitoring and evaluation, we expect bids next week with anticipated award the middle of April. Right. So moving on to coordination and notification forms. So I'd like to just take a moment to remind everyone why we do these. This is for regional coordination and understanding of what is going on here. We do them when we are in potential violation of WFOP criteria. The idea is that we will come to the region saying, hey, you know, we know we have this criteria, we're not able to meet it, here's why we're not able to meet it, here's what we believe is the best way to mitigate potential impacts from that. We really encourage the region to provide their thoughts on that in a meaningful way and recognize that there are going to be times when construction or maintenance or whatever happens, So what can we do as a region that still protects the fish to the best of our ability? So given that, we have several MOCs that are listed, and I would encourage you all to take the time to read through them and provide comments if you have them, because this is your opportunity to say, hey, you know, we understand that this is what you came up with, but have you thought about maybe doing X, Y, or Z instead of what you are doing, and why can't you do that? And we can have that dialogue so there's a better understanding of how we operate and maintain our facilities in the valley and how we can operate them in the most fish-friendly way possible when we cannot strictly follow the criteria as laid out in the WPOP. So with that, Chris, go ahead and go through.
Sure. So the first one is in regards to flows on the North Saniam. Early on, there was concern about not having enough water to provide adequate flows, and we were concerned about storage. And we still may be concerned about storage in Detroit Reservoir to be able to provide temperature management. So there was a meeting a couple weeks ago where a decision was made to provide 1,200 CFS in the North Saniam. This deviates from the BIOP, which states that 1,500 CFS should be provided. This was a decision made by all folks with concurrence from NIMS and other fish agencies as well. And we will be meeting again today to talk about future flows in the North Saniam, but also flows in the main stem land as well, as to our water situation currently as it stands now. Any questions on that first memorandum? Comments were due on April 3rd for that specific one.
Yeah, Chris, this is Diana. I just wanted to let you know that we are going to, I mean, I realize it was an email from Ann that's part of the proposal, but you will be seeing comments from us that are just based on a field site visit where folks went out and took a look at a few areas to, you know, evaluate about that recommendation. So you'll see something from us.
All right, thank you. The next one is in regards to what Natalie talked about with the Fall Creek Fish Facility. They thought that operations could commence 1 April. There's a delay with construction, so in the memo, it states April 30 when we could potentially begin operations, but Natalie just stated that potentially mid-April, but we'll have to wait and see what happens with commissioning.
So when you provide comments on that, because Jeff, I heard you had concerns about winter steelhead, and I would encourage you to send in those comments. You can also break them out. Like, yeah, we are okay with this delay up until the 15th of April. After that, we have significant concerns, and here's what those concerns are, or whatever the dates are. You don't have to just, yeah, we agree or we don't agree. You can add verbiage in there, because we can't always think of everything, and that's why we need our regional partners to assist us in this.
The next memo sent out was in regards to an oil release at Foster Dam. There was a power outage that somehow caused an oil release of about 5 gallons, a little bigger than ones I typically report on. So comments on that memo are due April 9th.
Hey, Chris, this is Diana again. I guess I was just wondering, and maybe your word there somehow gave it away, but do we have any idea why the shutdown of both of them released this, or do we have any other information on how it happened? Because if we wanted to give any recommendations on what to do next time, that's all.
Right, no, yeah, I'm still looking into that. All I know is the power outage, it was caused by the power outage somehow, but I don't know the mechanics or the details of that. But I'm speaking to folks to figure out potentially more details on that.
Okay, thank you.
And the next one was the one that was on the agenda last month that's on there again in regards to...
Except the trout?
Yeah.
Trout versus Emini. Yeah, we didn't receive a whole lot in the way of comments on that MOC, so we will take what we have, but with the M&E contract needing to be awarded in April, if you have any additional comments or thoughts, please send those to me, and we'll get a final version back out to everyone with what our decision has been. Right now it's looking like we will lean towards meeting the bio. Right, moving on to the fish operations plan.
Sure, so the plan's been finalized for the year. I've submitted it for printing a few copies anyway for the first time. There were a few that were change forms or change requests that were pending that we're working through, one being looking at the maintenance periods a little more at Big Cliff and Detroit. There was a change form that we discussed at our annual meeting, but we didn't have the right people in the room. And currently I'm talking with folks and obtaining additional comments or feedback as to what that or what those maintenance periods might look like. So that's moving forward, but it didn't make it into the print version. But we can update it on the web at any time. And another one that was pending was in relation to downstream fish passage at Cougar. Every year currently we do an MOC to coordinate fish passage at night through the RO at Cougar. I was trying to get it into the plan so we wouldn't have to do that every year. It didn't make it, but I'm hoping to get it updated as soon as I can get folks' feedback on that.
It just didn't make it into the printed version.
Right.
It's a living document.
Right. And then the next item are several change forms which are related to discussion where we talked about taking genetic samples at our fish traps, and I left that on there for discussion. Currently, it did go into the WFOP, but there has been discussion as to how we go about doing that, where we store samples, are there any additional costs associated with that, and how we move forward on that. So I'll leave it kind of open for folks to provide any feedback. I know, Ryan, you were looking into providing some sort of cost estimate for that work at Minto and Foster anyway, and I know it's work that we're currently doing at Cougar and Fall Creek, which is my understanding. Thoughts on that?
Yeah, so I did work up some estimates for...
Go ahead.
I think his connection is breaking up.
I think we lost you, Ryan. I think we really lost him.
Jeff, are you still on the phone?
Yep.
Maybe.
What was the question? I was working on something else, sorry.
If you could just have ask Ryan to email us his estimates that he was working on for the collection of the genetic samples at Minto and Foster.
Okay, sure.
Since I think we lost him. That would be great. One other item for the fish operations plan, unless there are other comments on that. I imagine you were just waiting for Ryan to...
Waiting for Ryan to speak.
Well, if I could just jump in real quick. So we discussed this a little bit at HMT last week. So even though the WFOP says that we would take genetic clips or genetic samples from natural origin fish returned to the traps, right now that's not going to be done at Minto and Foster. So all of the winter steelhead that have come back so far we've missed. We don't have any clips from them. And there's no plans in place to take clips from any of the remaining winter steelhead or natural origin spring chinook that return. And that's because it's not in any contract or agreement currently. So it's not in the hatchery operations contract. And we talked with ODHW about adding it to that contract, and that's the cost estimate that Ryan's coming up with, is how much would it cost to add that work for the folks at Minto and Foster to take those samples. So that's what we're working on right now, but as many of you know, we've been having some budget troubles this year. We're short in many areas. So adding funds to that current contract will be a challenge. So regional folks should be aware that it looks like this year, there's probably not a good chance of taking those clips, which will of course cascade out into future years, create holes when doing any genetic analysis in the future.
Thanks for that, Andy. And so can I just ask, I guess, what's the crux of the biggest cost, I guess? Is it the, I mean, I know that they're already handling fish and sometimes taking scales and other things, so is the crux of it having the, like, storage files, or is it transporting the samples to a refrigerator where they, or freezer where they could be stored? Do you know what the biggest ticket items are?
Yeah, so to break it down maybe even further, there's kind of two ways that we can take genetic samples. We can do it individually by the fish and collect some of the other information on morphometrics and you know, sex and return date and everything, and kind of dial it into the weeds on an individual fish. Or you can take batch samples, which is part of what's been done in the past, where you batch an entire week's worth of adults together, and then store those. And so you lose some of the individual metrics that are tied to those fish, but it still gives you a way to get your hands on those samples. So the batch samples are relatively inexpensive to take. I mean, the cost of the vials and the alcohol and the labels and everything is not tremendous. The bigger cost there is probably someone's time to take those samples, make sure they're stored with the other samples we have from previous years, and make sure that they're recorded properly in the database so we know where they are and what they are and where they came from. That's all kind of standardized, so in the future, if they're needed, they're easy to access. So it's probably like that person's time and effort to go and put those where they belong, which is not a whole lot. And Ryan, I don't know if you want to speak to that anymore.
No, I think you captured it pretty good. Sorry, I was having some phone issues earlier. So yeah, it would be time in the collecting samples, the material and supplies to store those samples, a little bit of QA, QC, and then the folks' time at the lab to receive catalog and store those samples at the fish genetics lab. I did talk to Kathleen O'Malley actually this morning, and in general, you know, she was maybe comfortable with a batch sampling technique, but added the caveat that if those were batched on outplant day so that they could make some connections there in future pedigree work, that would be helpful. But just a simple, you know, if we batch by the week or month, it was much more difficult for them to do an effective analysis of that type of batch sampling. So, I mean, just if you looked at cost crudely, you know, if one option was the full meal deal with individual sampling, I mean, that's a pretty labor intensive, and that would be additional staff. You know, you're probably in the $75,000 to $100,000 range plus our indirect, and then you probably cut that in half for the pared down version. To do batch sampling, it'd be much less labor intensive, so you'd probably look at, you know, half of the additional staff to do that and supplies and cost.
And Ryan, you'll be able to provide this in a write-up for us?
I sure can.
Thank you.
So this is Lance. Just a couple of clarifications. So is this to actually analyze the samples or just collect the samples?
Just collect.
From my standpoint, Lance, this is Ryan, would be just to collect the samples, for our folks to collect them, get them over to Kathleen O'Malley's lab, inventory, you know, catalog and store.
Okay. Yeah, we should have some follow-up discussions on this. I know from NOAA's perspective, we've advocated for these pedigree studies, you know, all along, because they're really the ultimate gauge on how well things are working below the dams and above the dams for our reintroduction, and absolutely critical to have that information. So if we're no longer going to even collect those samples at Minto and at Foster, that puts a huge hole, you know, in what we're going to learn. And, you know, especially for above Detroit, you know, the agencies want to start putting wild Chinook above the dams, and until we know what's really going on with their survival, and the only way we get that information is from pedigree studies, then the agencies have been hesitant to do that because we just don't know how well those fish will fare. So I'd like to have some follow-up discussion on this if we're making decisions on not to even store samples for future analyses.
So this is Bob Wertheimer. Other than modding the contract, is there an internal or external way we could bring people in to grab the samples? Just looking at it, are there other pathways which we could get the samples and archive them?
You got some extra people that need some work?
Well, no, I mean, just if you look at costs and stuff like that, we always do return on investment for costs. Is there potential? It's the first question. If there's not potential, then you don't advance it. But
I think from my perspective, the batching on Alpine Day is more realistic, but the more intensive sampling effort would take a lot more time, obviously, and I don't know. I don't think we could pull that off, in my opinion, without dedicated folks, but the batching, I think we might be able to find some sort of way to do it, but that's maybe a question more for the operators that do it all the time.
Thanks, I just wanted to bring it up.
Yeah, we'll have a follow-up discussion on this. Because until we see a write-up, there's as to what the costs are, there's not much point in having further discussion here. One other change form that will be coming is the Willamette Falls locks and how we exercise those gates. Right now, there's some concern that perhaps the protocols do not take into account the best protections for steelhead. So as soon as we get those from Bonneville, we will send those out for everyone to review and provide comments on, and then we can eventually get that into the WFOP.
I'm sorry, Tammy, how often are those gates exercised?
Ben said that he thought they were every other month, possibly less than that. And that we don't even have the same access to our facility that we used to. The road apparently is no longer part of an easement down there, so you gotta hike in.
Yeah, but no, yeah.
He's trying to, Caleb was out of the, he was up at the SRS yesterday, so he'll get more information.
Tammy, did you say Bonneville, like Bonneville Dam or Bonneville BPA?
Bonneville Dam, they're responsible for the O&M of the locks.
Oh, okay, thanks.
So whatever we put in the WFOP, we probably need to add a section into the FPP.
And then Bonneville, when we operate the locks, we have specific protocols to make sure pitterpets don't get into the locks because they're very good. I know it's a different situation here, but just something to look out for because these animals will find any access point they can and they will get in.
Yeah, so we'll want to make sure we take that into account as well when we exercise those gates.
Giant trap.
They're so smart. These animals are so smart.
Yeah. Any other comments on the WFOP? All right, task group updates. Summer Steelhead.
Not much to say on that one. ODFW submitted a version of the Summer Steelhead HTMP to NIMS a couple weeks ago. And right now the Corps is just reviewing some of the purpose and mitigation characterization type of language. As far as numbers of fish released and where they're released, none of that's going to change. But the legal staff at the Corps wanted to take a look at all that language and make sure that it's all kosher with them before we submit it with our name on it. So Leanne's plugging away at it right now. So as soon as she's done, we'll turn it around and provide that to NIMS.
So Andy, the Corps will be sending a confirmation, kind of what you just said, at some point soon?
Like a separate letter that kind of outlines what our intentions are?
Yeah, or just something back to NIMS that says, yeah, we're good to go with the HGMP that ODFW submitted, or we have these issues, some kind of correspondence back to us on that?
Yeah, that's a good question. I know Joyce has been in contact with Allison, and it sounded like they were on the same page, but if we need something more formal, we can talk to folks and see if we can line that up.
Yeah, we need, I mean, something besides a phone call would be what we need.
Okay. All right, I'll check on that and get back to you.
All right, thanks.
Yeah.
Okay, any update on the Swift?
Rich didn't have any. They're still in the holding pattern until they get some research started. So he said no updates.
Us to the end of the agenda, unless somebody has anything else they'd like to bring up at this time.
Hey, Tammy, this is Diana again. I just have a quick question because I apologize, I can't remember. With Detroit, with the revised temperature targets we were using last year and are intending to use this year, was that going to be a memo of coordination, or did that make it into the WFOP?
That made it into the plan.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. I just wanted to make sure we weren't forgetting a step there. Thank you.
Hey, this is Ryan. I had a quick question. Sorry, I failed to jump in on the updates on 4.3 research. I don't know if this is maybe a question for Fenton, but any update on the Middle Fork respawn mortality study?
I don't have an update because we're still talking to OSU and the researchers and trying to come up with a plan, and hopefully we'll make a decision soon, Ryan, but I don't have one right now.
Fair enough. Thanks.
Yeah, we'll let you guys know as soon as we make a decision. I think Ricardo and Rich are working out some details with OSU.
Thanks.
Yeah.
And Tammy, quick question. Would it be helpful, because we talked about the May FPOM meeting, if we sent out the 8 March task group minutes for the region to see, because there's a lot of different agencies that were cooperating and presenting there. Would it be helpful to the WFPOM if we sent that out and share that?
Yes, absolutely. Aaron, if you want to send that out to the WFPOM group, since you have the meeting minutes.
I do have, I don't have them all compiled yet, because I do have comments from several people. So I was waiting until the comment period was over.
That's fine.
So maybe that'll be next week.
When you're done with them, if you would send them out to WFPOM as well as FPOM, that would be great.
Okay, will do.
Anything else? All right, with that, thank you everyone for calling in, and we'll talk again next month.
Robert, how are you, man? Good to see you.
Good to see you, man.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Are you here today or just for this meeting?
I wanted to see...